As you can imagine, this is my privilege and honor to be on this pulpit this morning. I thank the Lord for this wonderful pleasure and privilege He has given to me through Pastor Charles and Pastor Tim and the session board of elders. I thank you for inviting me to come to share God's word with you. If there is any prophet who has shown his raw feelings and emotions during the time of his ministry, in writing frankly and honestly for our edification, I believe that it is Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah is one of the longest books in the scriptures. He was very honest in expressing his personal struggles and discouragements in his writings. He sometimes boldly said even about God in a manner that we do not really expect to hear from a God's prophet. He was a prophet, but a very lonely prophet. He felt even betrayed by God himself. In his faith and passion for God, both a triumph and affliction went together. Archibald Duff said, in quote, "To the Jew and Christian, Jeremiah has been among the prophets, not the most brilliant, but the most human," end of quote. That's why probably I'm attracted to Jeremiah very much. Whenever I read his book and think of him, I cannot but be welled up with tears in my eyes. Jeremiah's writing is almost like a notebook of an intensely loving pastor crying for his dying people. He was weary. Jeremiah's words are dark and gloomy as they reveal the coming days of destruction. Jeremiah's heart is full of sorrows in private and public life, but his life is an utterance of God's own thoughts, and Jeremiah's life story is not his own, but rather God's own story of his own affairs. His passion for God is framed only by not only by positives, as if the ultimate demonstration is found in freedom, harmony, and joy only, without thinking of the most passionate person in the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is also a man of sorrows. He bore the cross, which is a symbol of disharmony. Someone aptly said, "One distinguished sign of false teachers in our days is a lack of theology of suffering." Jeremiah had to be willing to stand alone, to cope with isolation, opposition, betrayal, false accusations, and physical attacks, even from those who ought to be most loyal to him. The picture of his passion is not always painted in bright colors, but often in dark gray, dark blue, and black. His passion endured from the moment he was called by God till the end of his life. This morning, I would like to talk about Jeremiah's enduring passion for God. First of all, enduring passion is demonstrated differently at different times by different people. Jeremiah was born of a priestly family, according to chapter 1, verse 1, in Anathoth, a village about 3 to 4 miles to northeast of Jerusalem, probably in the tribal portion of Benjamin. Verse 1 of our text says, "The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah of the priests, who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin." Being born to a priestly family, he was expected to become a priest someday, but he never had an opportunity to act as a priest in God's temple. Nevertheless, throughout his life and ministry, he did not lose the heart of a priest by loving the path of truth and the souls of God's people. He acted as a priest in heart by taking the nation of Israel onto the prayer altar of God and offered the spiritual sacrifices of prayer and praises unto the Lord for her sake. His hometown, Anathoth, was not far from the ancient city Shiloh, where the glory of God once took abode. This was the place where God allowed Israel to set up his tabernacle. God received the sacrifices and offerings from his people there. Our beloved boy, Samuel, worked in the sanctuary of God in that place. God called him 3 times a night in that particular town. By the time Jeremiah was born, the city of Shiloh was in ruins, and only the relics of the former glory left behind. Every broken piece in the city was only a sign of woes and shame against those who had disobeyed the commandments of God. In fact, God used the destruction of Shiloh to caution and warn his disobedient nation. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 11 and 12 say this, "Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel." From this visual object lesson, on the one hand, Jeremiah was able to see Shiloh, which was already destroyed. On the other hand, he ministered to the people in Judah who were about to be destroyed. Jeremiah was born between 645 and 650 BC. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in verse 4 in chapter 1, in a period of history when politically it was a time of upheaval in the ancient Near Eastern world, including Assyria, Egypt, and Babylon. Jeremiah was born and lived during the days of moral and spiritual decay, and truly, Judah was rotten to the core. The ultimate reason for this appalling condition was given by God himself in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." The Lord said it once again, chapter 3, verse 1b, "Thou hast played the harlot with many lovers." Verse 5b says, "Thou hast spoken and done evil thing as thou couldest." The revival and reformation the king Josiah had brought into the Jewish society failed to bring the people of Judah to complete repentance. Chapter 3, verse 21b says, "They have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God." The Lord says in chapter 4, verse 22, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me." Can you believe this? "They have not known me." The children of Israel, called by the name of God, did not know him. And God says they are sottish, which means by ESV and NASV, stupid, and by NIV, senseless children. "And they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." Jeremiah brings a black array of charges against Israel, including adultery, harlotry, injustice, greed, slander, deceit, and treachery. Judgment is very much certain by now that Judah is, as a country, was soon to be dead. Jeremiah did not live in pagan world, but among the people called by the name of God and worshiping him in the temple, which made Jeremiah's ministry and life and personal thoughts and feelings even more miserable. His passion for God is not for high pitch of excitement, but of endurance. Jeremiah is a God's servant whose desires are to be tuned with God's disposer in the totality of even his private life. His passion and struggles all came from his awareness that the demand of God for a devotion must meet with his total obedience and submission. Enduring passion can be shown differently at different times by different people. Secondly, enduring passion is built on God's calling. As a man, young man, around 626 BC, maybe 19 or 20 years old, which was the 13th year of Josiah's reign, God called him to be his prophet. He began to declare the messages of judgment to his own people. The context or the theme of message was already allocated for him, so he had to stick with it. He began to declare the messages of judgment. Chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 and 6 and 7 say this, Then said the Lord unto me, "Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, if they say unto thee, 'Whither shall we go forth?' then thou shalt tell them, 'Thus saith the Lord, such as are for death to death, and such as are for the sword to the sword, and such as are for the famine to the famine, and such as are for the captivity to the captivity.'" Verse 6, Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord. Thou art gone backward, therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. And I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people, since they return not from their ways. That was the message he had to deliver to his own people. It is not an easy message to deliver by a young preacher. Another example is a message to Pashur in chapter 20, verse 6. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. The meaning of Jeremiah's name is uncertain. Possibly it means the Lord throws, which means the Lord throws down, which would be very much appropriate to his message of judgment or his ministry itself. Jeremiah was called with his divine purpose and appointed to the prophetic office in chapter 1, verse 5. God said, "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." The Lord knew, Lord sanctified, and the Lord ordained Jeremiah. The Lord had a personal interest in Jeremiah. The Lord said that he knew Jeremiah before he was born, which is a divine election. It is God who formed Jeremiah in his mother's belly, acknowledged him as his own, and called him to his service. The Lord sanctified Jeremiah, by which he separated him for a purpose. The Lord set him apart for the ministry or service of the prophetic office. So verse 5, chapter 1 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." There is no more comforting and strengthening biblical doctrine than the doctrine of God's sovereign election in the ministry and work of God, in the believer's life. God chose me. God knew me even before I was formed in my mother's womb. Faith in God's sovereign election will anchor his servants, his children, as it did Jeremiah. It is very sad to see that the significance of the Lord's calling has been neglected even in the believers' community today. Holding on to God's sovereign election enables to endure, because I am not who I am, but my identity must be found in the divine providence of God. He chose me, he knew me before I was born. And he was called to be a prophet. At first, he resisted, feeling that he had neither the gift of words nor sufficient authority for such a task. The hand of the Lord touched his mouth in chapter 1, verse 9. God assured him that he was with Jeremiah and would make him a fortified city, an iron pillar and walls of brass in chapter 1, verse 18. Jeremiah seemed to be hesitant at first. Every individual's response to God's call is different. Jeremiah was very much ready to answer, respond to the call, "Here am I, send me." But Jeremiah was different. Individuals are different. With Jeremiah's call came a sense of irresistible compulsion. A prophet, Jeremiah was very much conscious of the gloomy spiritual condition of Israel. And possibly he had even fear of going into a spiritual ministry. He felt that he was not adequate for the job. He said to the Lord in verse 6, "I'm not ready. Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." He recognized his weakness and lack of qualification before such awesome responsibilities. "I cannot speak" literally means "I do not know how to speak." Jeremiah spoke of his lack of skills of speaking. The major prophetic work is to speak the message of God to the people of God, but he said that he did not know how to speak. He was speaking of both his lack of skills and his maturity. "I'm only a child." However, He needed to discover that God never calls a man to any work without imparting the necessary gifts and enablement for performing it. God chose the time of Jeremiah's birth with the knowledge of Judah's apostate condition, so he knew exactly in what condition Jeremiah was expected to minister. God's powerful assurance was given to him in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 7 to 10. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. The sense of God's calling was Jeremiah's bolster and solid rock throughout his life, even in times of troubles and in despair. Soon he submitted himself to the calling of the Almighty and began to preach with passion. He said to the people, you have forsaken your God. Your enemies are coming and you shall be destroyed. He faced the false prophets and rebuked them. He used the thus saith the Lord phrase, the particular formula, at least 150 times throughout the book. I tried to count them and I forgot the exact number, but it was almost 150 times, thus saith the Lord throughout the book. Only God was his strength and comfort in the ministry. Jeremiah was not a bombastic person by nature. He was not definitely confident extrovert. At times, we could see that he did not enjoy being a prophet. He wanted to run out of it. In fact, he tried to get out of it more than once. He did not like having to confront people. It was not kind of his character. He was a weeping prophet because he was a man of pathos, feeling, and compassion. In the face of mounting pressure from all sides, however, he refused to temper the message God had given him, refused even to water it down even a bit, and refused to be silent. He sought to turn back God's people from their evil way. He preached the word as told by God. Chapter 3, verse 13, return, thou backsliding Israel. Only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. Then he kept on saying, verse 25, we lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers from our youth, even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. Chapter 8, verse 7 says, yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. His messages were provocative and very much direct to the sinful nation. He delivered such messages with his sorrows. His passion was not built on feelings, but the calling. Thirdly, enduring passion persevered the hardships and trials. Jeremiah had to fight through multiple sins of Judah. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 28. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. They were idolatrous people. Chapter 3, verse 2b. Thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Chapter 7, verses 30 and 31, for the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I command them not, neither came it into my heart. Judah was severely idolatrous nation. The tool Jeremiah used against such a spiritual melee was the preaching of God's word. Chapter 1, verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. His homiletics or preaching style is quite straightforward, very much different from today's most messages. We want to have practical messages, applicational messages, some sort of counseling messages by giving us some sort of formula to resolve the problems. But his homiletics was different. He simply declared what the Lord had to say to his people. Even there was no room for interpretations left at all. Jeremiah's messages were transparent and crystal clear. Chapter 1, verse 9 says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." This verse may also refer to the divine inspiration of his messages. We need to pay attention to the expression, "my word." God said, "I am putting my word into your mouth." Jeremiah's messages were God's own words. It was the essence of his messages and preaching ministry. It also speaks of God's enabling grace. Jeremiah said in verse 6 that he could not speak. Now the Lord says that he will put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. Verse 10 speaks of the result of the preaching ministry or the power of God's word. "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant." His message was powerful. With the authority of God, Jeremiah had to fight against the religion of his days. He had to speak against the popular religion in his days. Jeremiah 29, verses 8 and 9 say this, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord." There were plenty of messengers claiming to be sent by God, but in fact they were not sent by God. They were competing with Jeremiah. The Lord said in Jeremiah 23, verses 30 to 32, "Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say," he saith, verse 32, "behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams," etc. So God was against those false prophets, and likewise Jeremiah had to fight against them. Against the false teachings and false messages, Jeremiah was responsible to deliver undiluted messages of God to the rebelling nations. How hard and challenging work that should be. God said to him in chapter 26, verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them," God says in verse, the end of the verse, "diminish not a word." Jeremiah was continually assuring others and himself that he would keep nothing back. Jeremiah 42, verse 4. He was against the trends or the spirit of his time. As for the people, he was unpardonable. All of his messages were very much treacherous to the ears of the people. He spoke to the people, "It is the message from God. Therefore, why don't you surrender yourselves to your enemies?" Such a message was not gladly received by the children of Israel. How could his message be accepted? The Lord says in chapter 11, verse 14, "Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble." The object of passion is not determined by my will, but by the will of the Lord. He had great compassion and affection and love, concern, pity, and pathos for his own people, but he was not allowed even to pray for them. Jeremiah became an unpopular person in public. His family and relatives hated him. Chapter 11, verse 19, But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised the devices against me, saying, Let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. These evil people were not outsiders. They were not strangers. These evil people were none other than the men of Anathoth. And Anathoth was his birthplace. All of his friends and relatives were against him. Jeremiah's home village turned against him. They dealt with him treacherously, chapter 12, verse 6. God did not seem to care about Jeremiah's personal pleasure. He was not allowed to marry, chapter 16, verse 2. He was not allowed to enter the house of mourning, funeral services, chapter 16, verse 5. He was not to share in the joy of the marriage feast, chapter 16, verse 8. He was forced to be antisocial. His messages were already antisocial, but his lifestyle was to be antisocial. His own people from Anathoth said, chapter 11, verse 21, you have to remember that most of them were priests from that particular town. Prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. They did not recognize his office, his prophetic office. They did not recognize the authority of his messages. Besides that, they did not mind even killing him if he would not listen to them. But that's not the end of it. Jeremiah had to fight against his own hurts and wounds. So far, everything came upon him from outside, but there were internal struggles in his life. Jeremiah, at first, on its surface, at the first look, he looked very resolute. By judging, measuring, examining, analyzing his messages, people could have thought that he was a really mighty man, strong man with a strong will. To the eyes of his people, he appeared as a man who can be hard as a rock, as hard as a rock, when he's under huge pressure to change his stance and modify his message. He did not make a budge. However, he was not different from us. We find him on knees in despair. So outwardly in the public, his messages were very powerful and very strong. But inwardly in his private setting, he was a meek, mild, and very kind and feeble man. Many a time he protested to God. He says in chapter 12, verse 1, Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? He could not understand it. He himself was suffering, and he was persecuted and oppressed while those wicked people were so much prosperous. Chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. O Lord, thou hast, I don't know how you could see this. But here chapter 20, verse 7 says, Out of his desperation, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. The consequence of preaching such words given by the Lord was reproach and derision. Thus he strongly spoke against his mission from God in chapter 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. A man called by God said, I would not mention his name, but he could not resist that grace coming from above, burning sensation with the word of God inside of him. He was fallen into deep despair. Chapter 8, verse 18 says, When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. he was discouraged. Jeremiah 15 verse 10 says, "Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth, yet every one of them doth curse me." Listen to Jeremiah in verse 15, chapter 15. "O Lord, that thou knowest, remember me and visit me. Revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy loving long-suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke." Then from this discouraged prophet of God, we will hear a very unusual statement before him. Chapter 15, verse 18. "Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and his waters that fail?" The servant of the Lord said, "God, you are a liar to me. How dare he say that?" His preaching ministry added more sorrows to him. Chapter 9, verse 1. "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of waters, that I might weep day and night." Sorry. "For the slain of the daughter of my people, he was able to hear the war sound coming, and he was able to see the beauties of Israel destroyed." Chapter 8, verses 21 and 22. "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Jeremiah suffered with his emotional ups and downs in chapter 20, verses 13 to 18. In 13, he says, "Sing unto the Lord, praise the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers." Then we are going to read from verse 14 to 20, probably selectively a bit, but here verse 14, "Cursed be the day wherein I was born." We know that it was Job who cursed the day of his own birth, but here Jeremiah says in verse 14, chapter 20, "Cursed be the day wherein I was born. Let not the day wherein my mother bare me be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought the tidings to my father, saying, A man child is born unto thee, making him very glad. And let that man be as the cities which the Lord overthrew, and repented not. And let him hear the cry in the morning, and the shouting at noontide. Because he slew me not from the womb, or that my mother might have been my grave, and her womb to be always great with me." Verse 20, "Wherefore came I forth out of the womb to see labor and sorrow, that my day should be consumed with shame." Jeremiah proclaims that God is judge, and he declares God's praise and soon curses the day he was born. He was torn apart inside. The tension between the outward solid ministry and the inner scream threatened him apart. And I think many a times the pastors, ministers, the preachers do experience such. Thank you. Jeremiah's inner burden began with his inability to disassociate himself from those who are doomed to destruction. Universal rejection and hatred broke him down. I'm sure that if you are like my congregation in Hope Church in Adelaide, I'm sure that many of you are gone through trials and serious issues in life, afflictions and suffering. Sometimes you ask the people, pray for me, but you cannot share the topics for which you are asking actually to pray for you. You cannot even share them. It could be maybe a shame. It could be too much trouble to share. In your heart burdened, still you are hanging on there by faith alone, just like Jeremiah. You may want to cry out to the Lord just like Jeremiah did. Eternity, however, satisfies his last days. No one took a side with him. His vindication came only through Jerusalem destruction and Babylonian captivity. After the destruction of Jerusalem, he could have sought a shelter in Babylon or in a safer place in his country, but his heart and life were bound to his own people. Chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, "And it shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and prophets shall wonder. Then said I, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul." And chapter 8, verse 18 and 21 and 22 continue to say the same thing. In verse 21, chapter 8 says, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold of me." During his 40 years of this ministry, five kings came and went, but he kept on working to blow the trumpet of warning. He saw that he did not really want to see at the end the destruction of Jerusalem. As you know, that he was born in the priestly family, so in his heart he was a priest. His mind and his heart was attached to the temple service. However, he had to see the beautiful temple was burned down. A tradition. A tradition says that he hid the Ark of the Covenant, of which we are not sure. He was a prophet of tears. He was a weeping prophet for his own people in the darkest era of the history of Israel. Then what kept him going? That was the calling. Calling from God, which is deeply rooted in his passion for God. God told him in chapter 1, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces." We do not know how he died. There are different stories about his death. Jeremiah died probably in sorrows as he saw the sinfulness of his people and their misery in exile. But when he opened his eyes again, he saw the shining glory of God in heaven and heard a voice like a dropping of honey, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Rest with me and dine with me." Oh, we praise the Lord for his goodness. We praise God who calls us to praise him. Give thanks unto him who uses us in various capacities. He loves and cares for us and calls us for a task. We do not know the future, but what we know is that God is a caller and we respond to his call. We ought to be faithful. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah in a period of history when conditions were strikingly similar to our own. Politically, it was a time of upheaval in the ancient Near Eastern world. Great powers like Assyria, Egypt, and Babylonia were vying for supremacy over others. There were moral and spiritual decays in Israel. She was rotten to the core. Israel was waiting for its own demise. Jeremiah was called in that difficult time. He loved his countrymen and he cried for them. He preached the word of God for the repentance. In fact, his messages were remembered by the subsequent generations like their light. Without passion for God, he could not do it. It was an enduring passion. He was not a person of excitement or seemingly outwardly, externally, a man of great achievement, but he was a man of tears, man of cries. Without passion for God, he could not do it. It was an enduring passion Jeremiah had for God, who had enabled him, and that had enabled him to be faithful to the Lord till end. My fellow believers, sometimes we may have to cry. We cannot see the bright light in sight. Sometimes we have to agonize at night. No one understands us. We cannot find the solutions. We cannot find the answers to our life problems. But we believe in God. We desire to serve Him. We desire to follow Him. That is the passion that endures. I pray that you'll go with great encouragement coming from the enduring passion shown in Jeremiah. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, we thank you for your goodness. We do thank you for Prophet Jeremiah and his messages, his boldness, encouragement given by you as well, dear Lord. Despite all those trials and sufferings, he endured with passion. Likewise, help us, Lord. Help us endure. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.